by the ministry this morning, even last night. And many of you were not here the first morning when Brother Mamnus ministered to us. And I would just like to introduce him as a brother that I've known, pastor of a fellowship in Glendale in Phoenix, Arizona. A brother that has been used wonderfully of the Lord in getting the message out to many people. I know he loves the Lord, and I'm believing tonight that as God uses the ministry that he has, and I believe it's a gift of a teacher in his life, that each of us will grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and love the Lord more. God bless you, my brother. We appreciate you being here.
Good to be here. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, tonight, if this was the last night on this earth, what we would preach? One of these days it's going to be like that. Lord, make our souls ready to meet you. We love you. Help us, Lord, tonight to say nothing else but what you have us to say. And help us, Father God, to be able to understand each one of us our calling and election. Because your word said, if we know that, it will never fall. Forgive us from our sins, Lord, this day, our trespasses, anything that stands between us and you, Lord. We pray so you may remove it. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Like to say, okay. I'm a little more. Okay. I'm there. Okay. I'd like to say I appreciate Brother Ogier.
Amen.
I enjoy him. He said to me, "Would you come over to my country?" And, you know, I tried to define his ministry, and I asked Brother Gordon what kind of a ministry he got. But I defined it my own simple way. Reminds me of a man that has the Word of God, the knife of the Word of God, and cuts you on the back and laughs in the front. You think of that? He said a lot of things, friends. He said a lot of things. I have to say something, I'm sorry to say that, but if we knew what he was saying last night, the altar would be full. If we knew what he was saying, in a very simple way, he was saying things that really tore me apart. This morning, Brother Searle picked us up, and he likes to pick on me, and I like to pick on him. So we went back and forth for a little bit, and then he said, "Well, when are you coming over?" I said, "Well, I don't like conventions and lots of people." He says, "Well, don't worry about that. Right after the convention in August, I'm going to go down for a few days, set up some meetings, and I'm going to go together, go down all the way to Guyana." I said, "Okay, we'll see about that. Pray about it." This morning, when he started talking about making ketchup out of ants and all that stuff, I said, "I better wait and pray twice." So I said to him, "Now listen, brother Ogier, I said, that trip is off, I think. You know, I can't take it." He said, "No, we're not going down there." He says, "We're just going to go just to Guyana." And he says, "You preach and we'll go to different churches. We'll have a great time together." I said, "I don't know about that airplane. I remember this morning that you said that you landed in one place and then you went somewhere else." I said, "By the time you get through with me, you might leave me down there." I said, "I just don't like that." But I appreciate the brother, his ministry, what he means to me. I like to say sometimes you go to conventions, and I avoid conventions very much. I just surprised to find myself here. But I love the people, and I pray about it, and the Lord led me that way. Now, I was thinking about the ministry and what the Word is doing for us in the last days. And after I started looking, I said, "Lord, you call the ones to spread the gospel, like Brother Ogier down there and Brother Searle. that I know I cannot endure these things. But there are different callings, you know. I cannot be Brother Searle. Brother Searle cannot be me. I cannot be you. You cannot be me. But I look at it and I said, what a great work they have done. When they were preaching down in the jungles, I was just in the university messing around with degrees. It's painful. But the Lord knows. Amen. I try to help you a little bit tonight in a very simple way. If you ask me, what do I think about this Bible, the Word of God? The first thing I will say is perfection. Amen. You can't add or take away from this book and still be perfect. Amen. Do you know that? I may give you a simple example. If I take this book here, I'm not taking chairs like this guy does. Put this book here, this book here, and let's say this book right here somewhere. I'll say this is the Old Testament. There are prophets and the law there, you know that? They said lots of things. And then Christ came, and this is the period of Christ, and he said, I came not to break even one comma out of this. So what you have here, you have the fulfillment of what was said. You see what I'm saying? So here, Christ fulfills everything. You say, Brother David, I don't see it. You see, God is a mystery. You don't reason God. God says he fulfills every comma, every word, and everything in Matthew 5. So everything that was here, it was fulfilled in here. You don't throw this away. Because this tells you what this is, and this is the same like this. Am I right?
Amen.
That's an okay way to do it, but that's what I'm doing. Now, all of a sudden, you see, Christ came, died. Let me take an example, for example. Now, some Pharisees and scribes found a woman in the very act of adultery. That's what the Bible says. They grabbed her from the hair, and it's not like today, you know, no decency that drag her down to Jesus, and the scripture says they were tempting him. They brought her here. Jesus looked at her. He says, now, listen, master. Listen, teacher. He says, this woman was found in the very act of adultery. The law says that this woman should be stoned. And it's true. It's in Leviticus. And he looked at them. He wrote something on the ground. They disappeared. The question is, why he didn't kill her. Am I right? If he has to fulfill this that says that woman should be killed, and here he stands, why he didn't do it? Because the word says here, both shall be killed, and they brought the woman and not the man. Think of that. Am I right? He never broke the word. He fulfilled that word. So that woman was set free. And now let me give you another mystery. God blinded the sons of Satan. You say, sons of Satan? Yes. Jesus says, your generation of vipers, your father is the devil, he told them. Am I right?
Amen.
He blinded them. That woman, God permitted that woman to find herself in that kind of a state. They brought her to Jesus to get saved, and they go to hell. Now you figure that out. It's a mystery, am I right?
Amen. Amen.
You think of that. Two men walk in the temple. One is a publican, the other one is a Pharisee. The Pharisee prays loud in the synagogues. That's what the scripture says. So the Pharisee started. Lord, I'm thankful I pay my tithing. The poor publican sits in the corner. Lord, I don't even know what tithing is. Forgive me. I just don't know anything about that. So now the Pharisee preaches to the publican. So listen. Lord, I fast so many times a week. The publican says, I don't even know what fasting means, but be merciful to me. The scripture says he couldn't even look up. The Pharisee leaves. Jesus, who do you think is going to make it? The publican. And the Pharisee was preaching to him, and he missed it. You cannot figure out God. You know that? So now that Christ fulfilled this, the Apostle Paul comes down here, right? He looks at the whole setup. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees and so on. People say he was a member of the Sanhedrin. I don't know. There's no record to that nowhere in the history. You can keep that. I'll keep my idea. We'll go on as brothers and sisters. Now I look out here, Paul, and Paul stands before King Agrippa. Let's say this is the courthouse. Big belly King Agrippa comes around, sits on the throne. Look down. I learned from him. That's why I did that. So he sits down. They tie his hands. They tie his feet. Bring him over. Lock him up. Here are the dignitaries, the high priests around. Right? Sitting around. I like Paul because Paul was a real man. He wasn't by the wing, you remember? He was pretty strong. Paul looks at his boys and says, permit me to defend myself. Here's all the high priests. Sitting. They had two high priests at the time. Do you know that? You're supposed to have one. That's Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I'm afraid some people have two high priests today. They try to have Christ Jesus and Brother Branham. That doesn't work. There's only one high priest, Christ Jesus, and a prophet points you to that high priest. The people are spinning their heads, spinning around. They don't even know where they're going. So now, Paul stands there. He says, and now I stand and I'm judged for the hope of the promise made of God into our fathers. He says, I see this, and I tell you it's this. He was. That's the prophecy. That's the word right here fulfilled.
Amen.
Do you know how many prophecies were fulfilled in silence? Just about the whole word. In silence. We think sometimes we fulfill something when we talk. Sometimes it's better to listen.
Amen.
To learn something. So now just, I'm standing for that. And he started describing what happened to him on the road to Damascus. And listen to this. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both into small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophet of Moses did say will come. He says here, that man wrote 13 epistles. If you consider the book of Hebrews were written by him, which it is. And that man says here, he says, what I'm saying is the revelation of Jesus Christ that was promised down there by the prophets, a virgin shall conceive. He came down here. That's the real thing. I'm adding nothing else to that. I'm sitting right here, and what I'm saying was right here and right there.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing else.
Amen.
Today, the people, Brother Brown comes down there. He says, I'll preach every word that Paul preached. Am I right?
Amen.
We have one gospel, one God. We don't have a God of the Old Testament, forgot about it, and cut a line down here, another line down here, another line down here. What's the matter with us? When I go home, I'm going to make a study of dispensationalism, the cult of it. You don't cut God in any place.
Amen.
Brother Bram says, I'll preach every word when he stood up. Either beyond the curtain of time. Am I right? I'll preach every word that this gospel is, that Paul preached. Why not Peter? Paul was the Gentile. You remember that? Paul wrote, and everything that he wrote, you know, Brother Brown says, amen, amen, amen. Now what the people are trying to do, they tell you, forget all this. We got a new thing going. I'd like to tell you one thing. I beat them to it because I was saved by Calvary.
Amen.
I was saved by the cross.
Amen.
It's pretty simple, isn't it?
Sure.
So simple that Paul said, if you probably I didn't mention it, it's in Acts 26:22 when he says, saying none other things. And what else he say? He says, if an angel from heaven comes down preaching another gospel, let him be accursed.
Yes.
And the people don't realize that what God has promised down there, all the way in the book of Genesis to Abraham, he said to Abraham, and in that seed all nations shall be blessed. Back in Genesis, and you see it all the way through, a virgin shall conceive. David said, they pierced my hands with nails, the dogs have surrounded me. All the way down, it's one God, one word, one gospel.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Amen.
So now I'm sitting here, where do I stand? Somebody says this, somebody says that, and all these things. You know what I say? This. And so, you see, sometimes like freshmen in college, we used to have them at the university. I never dealt with undergraduates. My students were graduates from 35 to 70 years old. But you see, they come in with sweaters and hanging around stuff, and they know everything. You know what I mean? They know everything. So you look around, they come around, you know, I just float all over the place. The school that I was a big school, 47,000 students enrollment. So they come around and probably there might be 8,000 coming in as freshmen. Might cut off another 5,000 or something, they didn't admit them. They know everything. Then after the first test, it drops to 50% sometimes. They find out when they are tested, they know very little. You know that? Then you see, you continue, you got to the graduate level that I was working, doctorate students and so on, you have a handful. The rest of them are gone, different levels. Somebody said to me, Brother David, what is ignorance? Ignorance is related to the distance between you and God. The closer you go to Him, the less you know. The farther you get away from Him, you know it all. You know that?
Amen.
And you move closer to Him until you and He become one like that.
Amen.
And then you know nothing else but Jesus Christ in person. I love that, don't you?
Hallelujah.
Paul says, I know nothing else, he said, but Jesus Christ. And Paul and the cross, he says, that's a separating power between me and the world. So I love the Word of God. How much we have? 30 minutes? 30, 45? You just let me know, okay? Now, I'd like to take you for a little trip tonight. In the castle of Machaerus. It's a big place. That's where King Herod was. It's a beautiful place there. And history tells us that that big castle there, that big magnificent thing, at the bottom there, hallways and basements and basements and basements and everything else. And you and I were just walking by, and all of a sudden we smelled the lambs were roasted. The party was going on. And you say, what party was that? Herod, the king, he's celebrating his birthday. Or if you please, Herod the fox, like Jesus calling him. He was foxy. He was foxy. And Herod was there, and the party was there, and we started looking around. Their eyes were glaring with the wine that they were drinking. The women showing their bodies around, having a big party. But in the basement of that was the greatest man that was ever born. That was John the Baptist. Helpless. King Herod was afraid of John the Baptist. The king was afraid of a helpless man. And the helpless man was not afraid of anybody. That's the difference. Am I right? He stood in the front of his face and he said to him, it's not lawful to have that woman as your wife. He preached marriage and divorce and he got in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how many of us will get in trouble. Friends, no matter this society, this world is full of sin. that many brothers and sisters have fallen right and left. But I believe in the gospel that says, go and sin no more. Am I right? So now John the Baptist was sitting down there, was celebrating his birthday, the time that he came to this world, conceived in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. Big celebration there. And Herod, of course, was there, the fox. John had preached to him. John was kind, straight man. He wasn't compromising for anybody. Why? Because the Word of God is straight.
Amen.
A man said to me one time, he says, now I want you to tell how you knew the prophet. I says, what this has to do with the Jesus of the prophet? Am I right? We know the Jesus of the prophet.
Amen.
Why not hitchhikers? The scripture says, blessed are the ones that they haven't seen and believed. And there's nothing to brag about it. So John the Baptist, all of a sudden we start looking, and if we can look inside, go down to the kingdom, we see the wine and the everything. Herod was sitting there, and his wife next to him was somebody else's wife, and the daughter was sitting there, and the whole party was going on. But John the Baptist was down at the basement. His head dropped down, probably in the chains. The greatest man that was born without a congregation, without a pulpit. Nothing. Sitting down at the basement there, waiting without knowing what he was waiting for. He was introducing the Jehovah that came down.
Hallelujah.
A man with an old wrap skin around him. Says, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Am I right?
Yeah.
He was introducing him. That great Jehovah didn't have a place to lay his head.
Hallelujah.
He says, he didn't have a place to lay his head. The foxes have holes. The birds have nests. But the Son of Man has not a place to lay his head. Probably you find him behind ditches and behind places he didn't know where to go. But he came so low so he can save you and I. Like I said, the first night they were looking for him. They were waiting for the Messiah. They were reading the scrolls. The Messiah was here. They couldn't see him. I don't know, probably that woman, I'm just illustrating that woman that they brought her down to Jesus with the very act of adultery. She might was probably was running the video camera in the show. And all of a sudden she saw Jesus. She couldn't even focus on him because there was no beauty to be desired on him. He wasn't a showman. He was a Jehovah.
Amen.
I'm so thankful to God.
Amen.
That he's not going by popularity, riches, and so on.
Hallelujah.
The only thing he shows is his hands. Here it is.
Amen.
I redeem you. Am I right?
Amen.
John the Baptist was a tough man. And I like when a person stands for the Word of God, no matter what level he's at. And what a message in these days. You agree with that? And he says, Brother David, what is the message? The message is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But tell me, what is the message? As John the Baptist forerun this first coming, there will be a message that will forerun the second coming.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
Now I'll make a parenthesis here and I'll say, I never found it in any tape that says you will forerun it, but you have a message to forerun it.
Yeah.
Now some people said, Brother Brown told me this and that. Just keep it to yourself. Fine. To me, I see the scriptures and go on with it. So now John the Baptist, all of a sudden around the book of Luke, the 3rd chapter and the 7th verse, and he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Wow. Picture yourself at the time of John the Baptist. And multitudes normally is about 4,000 or 5,000 and up. And these people came to John to be baptized. They accepted the message. If you please. Sometimes you look for the devil way down in the denomination while the devil might be in your yard. He said to them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you? There's a who there. There's some who with popularity that start pulling the people instead of repentance. He gives them, just accept the message. But accept the message without repentance and Calvary, you go to hell.
Amen.
Pretty straight, am I right?
Amen.
What do you see here? This multitude, if probably an average person of the message, I'm not condemning anybody, had the multitudes, he'll build the biggest tabernacle. We are baptizing 4,000 tonight. John says, you sons of Satan, get out of here.
Amen.
Serious business, am I right? As John the Baptist was to foretell the first coming, if that happened to John the Baptist, I'm asking, who is that who? People fall for popularity, you know that?
Yeah.
You know if somebody's popular, they love him.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't say anything to me. Just a nice guy. The devil's servants are nice guys, but still devils. So that fellow had popularity here. And John the Baptist says, O generation of vipers, genea, from the verb geno, who means give birth. You got your birth from serpents. He's preaching serpent seed.
Amen? Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Who are these people, generation of vipers? Let's go for a minute on the book of Genesis and look something there. We know in Genesis, the third chapter. We have the fall. Eve listened to the serpent. The serpent said nothing wrong. If you please. He just put a question mark. Sometimes the serpent might come to you the same way. It says, is this so or you think it's so? You know what I mean? It's just put a question mark. I believe that. And I mean the message and so on. But is this so? He's penetrating in, you see. Serpent. That's his job. And now we see what happened. And all of a sudden, Eve and Adam make a mess out of it. The great Jehovah comes down and says, what are you, Adam? And that's the pass the back doctrine. Eve did it, I didn't do it. Adam did it, I didn't do it, back and forth. God examines the case, am I right? Like a good judge. So what God does, on the third chapter, on the 17th verse, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. God cursed the ground and not his son Adam. Because if you curse him, how he can redeem him? The love of God.
Amen.
A man, a mess. He knew what he was doing. And says, cursed is the ground for thy sake. He continued there. The 18th verse, thorns and thistles shall bring forth to thee. I'm not going to get into that verse. Thistles is from the word there. Triphilonco means three-pointed plants will come out of this earth. A bunch of Trinitarians will come through. He continues then, God in his mercy of the 21st verses, and Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. God didn't create clothes of skins, created animals. And somewhere he sacrificed the first sacrifice of the animal life to cover Adam and Eve. Blood was shed. Am I right? God's love. Think the method is now. God created the animal kingdom, created Adam, the earth. He has, can get nothing out of the earth because he was cursed. Adam and Eve were in a mess. The only thing was left is the animal life, and God created like that to preserve it so that blood, that's the life of that flesh that's in the blood, to be able to cover sin until Jesus comes. You think of that. What a plan of God. Am I right?
Amen.
It wasn't a God that said, now they fall. What am I supposed to do? You know, people think that sometimes redemption is something that probably the only thing you do, God decides for you to get by and get away from it. And just forgives you and don't worry about this word here. No, no. God doesn't break his word. This price of the word must be paid. This price of the word must be paid. That's why he came down to die for you and I.
Hallelujah.
So now he came to die, and when Christ died, he forgave our sins. Because he paid the price.
Amen.
I like what the Roman courts used to say. Rectus in foro judici. The judge used to stand up. He says, Rectus in foro judici, the Latin court. He says, the law has been examined and he's innocent. No favors. Because you don't break the law. Am I right? So now then we have the two boys there. On the fourth chapter, Cain and Abel. Both of them, they sacrificed to the same Jehovah. How do you like to hear that Cain was talking to God, person to person? He did. He says, why did you do that to me for? Am I right?
Yeah.
But Abel, you see what happens on the second verse. After, he says, in the process of time, on the third verse, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruits of the ground, cursed ground, bring to Jehovah a sacrifice. So many times,
right,
instead of leaning his grace, we say, ha, I need a message 20 years, so what? You are saved by grace and not by works.
Amen.
Forget the rest of it.
Amen.
Forget the rest of it.
Yes.
Oh, I knew the prophet. Judas knew Jesus. Get out of here. Am I right?
Amen.
Let me give you the credential of Judas. I hope I don't have to preach Judas. An apostle of Jesus Christ. He was called. The word apostle comes from apostello, the verb. And if you go to Ephesians, the same in the fivefold ministry. Other apostles, other prophets, and so on. He was in the fivefold ministry. He knew the master. He tells me, who are you? Who called you? I was called by Jesus. I went fishing with Jesus. I was taught by Jesus. But he was still the devil because when he got to Pentecost, he didn't like it. That's what the prophet said. He hated that. You know why? That's the evidence of your salvation.
Amen.
When that lamb died at the cross of Calvary to save you, you know what he did? Your name was there. And he says, Lord Jesus, save me. And something happens to you. But you cannot go by feeling. You have to go by the word. One time a man went by feeling and selected the wrong man. There were two of them. He picked up the wrong guy. You don't feel. But when the Holy Ghost comes back to you, confirms that you were in that sacrifice of Calvary, and now he's your defender up there.
Hallelujah.
And Judas couldn't do it.
Amen.
He hated it. He was in the message of the hour, Jesus Christ himself. You say you are the message of the hour. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?
Amen.
What, Brother David? I mean the message. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe in the message? Period. You You know, people today in the States are pulling here, North America, Canada. Don't go back to the Holy Ghost. You know why? Bunch of Judas, that's there, but his brothers.
Amen.
You shouldn't be afraid of anything to go to Pentecost.
Amen.
You should go straight and say, God of heaven, I believe that my life has changed, but do I practice properly? Have I deprogrammed to it? To a message, and I know nothing about it. My mind functions. I let my hurt grow. I feel sorry for myself, and all these things happening. Now I need a message. We'll catch up with you. You know that? Many people are not even Christians, and every wind of doctrine, they grab it. They think that's the answer. Let me tell you, Calvary is the answer. Acts 2 is the answer. Brainstorms who got all over floating around. Just remember sometimes the knowledge that defend deep revelations, it's a cover up of sin. I'm hiding behind a pulpit. So now God sees the two boys, Cain and Abel, the sacrifice. Cain takes from the fruits of the ground. God have cursed the ground. And Abel brought from what? The first fruits there from the flock. And if you go there to the Greek, it's a lamb. He was bringing a lamb. He was bringing a lamb there. Why? By revelation. How did he know? He scratched his head. He says, this great Jehovah, my daddy and my mother was in a mess, and God brought them skins. He did. So Abel sacrificed, and then God makes the decision. I don't know if I have it with me. I'd like to read you the verdict, okay? And I'll translate for you. I'm reading now Genesis, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse. Probably out of this, many sermons will be preached. Some of the preachers will hear that. I'm reading and translating. Uk eanorthos prosenengis. He says, if you have done well, Orthos demim vielis imartes. He says, starting from the beginning, uikon orthos prosenengis, which means if you have done well to offer that sacrifice from the verb prosenego. Now listen, that's the reason that I do that. Keep your ears open. Orthos demielis, the division, or the germ division, who have done the right way. He says, Imartes, you have sinned. Isithason, keep silence. Prosea apostrephia to, unto you he will turn. And see, artis of two, and you're his beginning. He tells Cain, you are his beginning. The serpent seed started. You say, Brother David, just now, that's what he says. And see, artists of two, you test that. And you are his beginning. And down in the New Testament, we'll read that Cain was from the evil one.
Amen.
Don't we? And now John the Baptist called them sons of Satan. Generation of vipers. And these people haven't done anything wrong. The only thing they did, they accepted the message that they were urged to be baptized. And John didn't like them. The deacons come around and says, now we have about so many thousands to be baptized. Praise the Lord, we're going to build a big tabernacle. John says, just forget it. He says, they're a generation of vipers. The reason is why. He blames somebody. Who? And when you have lots of people, you have popularity. And that's one of the evil things that the prophet spoke. Correct?
Yes.
Plethos. Lots of people. So he called them all generation of vipers. With other words, you are descend from the serpents down there.
Amen.
Genesis 4. Now these people want to come to the message. They were ready. Praise the Lord. Everything is okay. Hallelujah. Just remember, friends, somewhere in your life, if it hasn't taken repentance, substitutions of repentance are going to take place, and you're going to be around with all kinds of winds of doctrine. I don't care if you're a preacher or not.
Amen.
The only difference between me and somebody else, I tell the truth. because God is no respecter of person. Don't think because somebody preaches he's going to go to heaven. The Apostle Paul said, I'll preach to others and I'll be a castaway. I'm shaking, he said. You see, sometimes we take so many things here, popularity, and he says, oh, John the Baptist. And sometimes instead of watching that popularity and run away, you just fall into it. But I'm doing what he does. But you know, popularity doesn't pay. The greatest man was down there. Herod had his wife, his so-called wife, daughter to dance. The scripture says she danced and pleased him. Please him. She sit next to him. And he says, honey, you're beautiful. I look at your body, you're so beautiful. So what do you want? I'll give you 50% of my kingdom. Equal rights. As John the Baptist. Am I right? I'm equal rights, boy. Whatever you want. He says, let me ask my mommy the denomination. What do you think I should ask, mommy? He says, ask his head, because I can't stand anybody to be my head. The saint of God in prison. Sit there. What he has done? He preached marriage and divorce. But they got the guy. You know why? As Christ and his bride, so husband and wife. He was preparing bride materials. And he was illustrating. So now John the Baptist. About 10 more minutes. I'm watching you. You know. So John the Baptist, now all of a sudden we have, he calls them generation of vipers. You travel through. Your dad is the serpent. And he said to them, who? I'm just, don't want to dwell on that, because you might put your mind, he speaks about him, about that, but any who that has popularity, run away from it. Generation of vipers. We get the warning of the prophet. Money. Popularity. Big smile. Bring the TV cameras. Jesus has no beauty in himself. Sleeping in the ditches. So he can hide himself. You know why? He didn't want to be known. Because in him was you and I. He has to carry to the cross that sacrifice up upon Calvary. It wasn't handshake and accept the message. It was the great Jehovah. So John the Baptist now. In other words, the people that came to him to be baptized, remember, they have already accepted the messages. Who have warned you? With other words, who have said, if you don't do that, you're going to go to the bad place and God sent a prophet for the last hour. Do you accept? Yes, I accept. Just give them a bath. John the Baptist, who is that guy? Who is Mr. Who today? That's what I want to know. Who is Mr. Who today? As John the Baptist forerun the first coming, you have a message that will forerun the second coming. I want to know who is that who. Let your imagination go. And look for it. That's what the scripture says, John the Baptist. You see, we cannot fall for popularity. We have to fall for the rugged cross and the Word of God. That's not throwing quotes together. That's facing the devil face to face. So now John, he says, now John, wait a minute. The deacons got together. And I don't know this deacons here. The deacons got together and says, John, I want to talk to you. He said, all these people want to be baptized. We're going to have a hallelujah. We'll put Polly on the organ and David on the other side, Brother Cyril there. We're going to have a great time, praise the Lord. John says, you generation of vipers. You are in a message you claim to be, but you are the sons of Satan. Don't look for the sons of Satan. Somewhere in the back of the ditch in the bar, look them in the pulpit. Silence, but it's true. So John wants to know something now. Somebody make an easy road for them. Somebody use popularity, money, or something. And John continues and says, bring forth therefore the fruits worth of repentance. Bring forth therefore the fruits worth of repentance. I have an orange. That's a fruit, right? I look at it, it looks beautiful. But that's not what John was speaking about. John was looking at the fruit. He says, bring therefore the seed that's in that fruit. I want to see if it's hybrid or has the real life. Let me bury it to see if I can get Jesus Christ out of it.
Amen.
When we are buried with Jesus, with Christ, we should bring up Christ.
Amen.
Show me that seed, he said. Quit the flattering things and the beautiful things and hallelujah. How many love the prophet who put Brother Brown's picture here on the cloud on the other side who are ready for heaven? Friends, I'm afraid sometimes some people are ready for hell. He says, bring that fruit now. Bring that seed. I want to see it. And he says, bring that fruit that's worth of repentance. The word axia there means the value of it. I want to cash it to see what I'm going to get out of it. That's a rough gospel, isn't it? That's a hard gospel. Somebody said to you, don't tell me that you just repent. I want to cast these fruits out to God to see what's going to be out of it. Romans 6 says, if we have been buried in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Take a little seed. It can be the most beautiful rose. Take a little thing. You drop it in the ground. You put the right moisture. That thing dies. All of a sudden, something comes up, and a beautiful rose comes up.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be a rose. Nobody wants to die anymore.
Amen.
I'm learning your tricks. Everybody wants to be a rose. Nobody wants to die. The gospel is a rugged gospel.
Amen.
Not commercializing to the level that we don't even know what salvation is anymore. Go on. I play my tapes. Have you been repenting before God?
Amen.
He says, bring forth therefore fruit, the seed. Worth, with other words, axia, that has the value of repentance. I want to cash it, John says. I want to see what I'm going to get out of it. Is he going to be a guy that repents? And one day is like that, the next day is like that. Praise the Lord. But I will wear slacks outside in the church. I'll wear a dress. And I'll go on. And the world and the things of the world piling on us. And more liberal. Some people say, listen, brother. My daughters and my sons are going to the world. I'm asking, have they repented? I look at that repentance. Some hybrid theologians will go to the Greek language and say, comes from the word metanoo, knows the mind, change the mind. But I'd rather take the word of God. Did you think so?
Amen.
Huh? The word of God. Because without the word of God, there's nothing we can do. And I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians for a moment. The 7th chapter. Starting from the 9th verse. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but you were sorrowed to repentance.
Hallelujah.
He speaks about a sorrow now.
Yeah.
He speaks that sorrow.
Amen.
But Brother David, hold your finger there for a minute. What can I do? I'll tell you what, friend. Don't forget this statement I'm going to make. You are a blessed person if the spirit of repentance works in you.
Hallelujah.
One of the treasures that God can ever give you. So I'm sitting there, I'm looking before I start on this. Let me read something else that I got in my mind in a minute. I'm going to Romans for a minute with me. The second chapter. And now the fourth verse. Or despises thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. You think sometimes, 3 minutes before I die, I said, Jesus, save me, amen, forgive me. No, that's not it. If he will lead you to repentance, you cannot repent. That's tough. Huh? See what John the Baptist was saying? Bring the fruits of repentance. Quit telling me that you're Abraham's seed and all that stuff. Bring the fruits of repentance. In other words, if you really got it, God has given it. Quit claim, I need a message, I'm going to be baptized and praise the Lord and so on. Just take the narrow road of Calvary. Yeah. Have you ever thought that God might place somebody in this assembly to be your Judas so you can be prepared for the rapture? We don't like the things, you know that? You say, no, I'm leave me alone. I make all my money. I want to go any place I want to. I don't want to do anything I want to. We always learning, never come to the knowledge of the truth. We don't want the cross. The cross is painful. And God says here, it's the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance. It's the mercy of God. I repented. I did this. I knew the prophet. I went fishing with him. I did this. All these devil's claims. The question is, has God given you the spirit of repentance? That's starting at the bottom. Am I right?
Amen.
Now, just remember, Acts 2:38, repent, number one. Without always have the goods. And be baptized, because without repentance, you're taking a bath. It's an outward confession of an inward work. Correct? That I'm buried with Jesus. The world and the things of the world are dead. Sometimes we make many mistakes. The mother wants to see the little Johnny and little Betty be in heaven and so on. The kids haven't made any decision. Repentance hasn't taken place. And we'll take these kids, baptize them, we'll give them a religious spirit. And the kids grow up. I was baptized, not even saved. What happened to Betty? I thought she was baptized when she was 7. The question is, was she saved? We give them religious spirits and we deceive them. Now, John the Baptist here was a pretty nice fellow, but he was pretty straight. Now, Paul starts speaking about that. And he says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented by the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow. You know, when you repent, you don't know what you're doing. You might not know your right from your left, but when you fall in your face before Jesus, I don't understand what to do, Lord. Something, I'm restless. I need God. I need you. Am I right?
Amen.
I remember the life of Charlotte Elliot, a poetess in England, a talented woman, a missionary from Switzerland went over to say, now look, Charlotte Elliot, I want to talk to you about salvation, John 3:16. She threw that man out. Then she started thinking the next day, and he came back again, visit her, and he said, well, I'm going to repent. I'm going to make my list to see what my sins are. I failed there. I stole this. I did this that night and that day, and I did this and this and that. She took her little list, put it in the corner. Next day, she found out she got some more divide. And the following day, there were more. And the following day, she was confused because she didn't know the depth of it. And she sat there, and she started crying. She said, what can I do? She was a poetist. She took her pen. She started writing that song, Just As I Am Without One Plea. That's what you need tonight. Just as I am. God never asked you for a grocery list, but just as you are.
Amen.
If that little spirit deals in you, forget. People think that the more the message you know, the more you're going to go to heaven. You are saved by grace and not by works.
Yeah.
They think they know. They have to know Greek to do that and that. You know what? I have to use it because my mother language. I read in Greek and then I go to English. You don't need Greek to make heaven. You need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Correct?
Amen.
Everybody wants to influence somebody that I know something, a bunch of hybrids. I remember one time I went to college with my wife, Southern Cal College. And I was 1 year ahead because I transferred from Europe, Switzerland, so on. I was finishing my BA degree because they pushed me back. I didn't have American literature, American government, and blah, blah, this stuff. So I had to take it. And I didn't want to leave the school without marrying my wife. So what happened? I waited there. So I picked up the first graduate degree. So I just registered for the first graduate degree. I said, now, I don't need that. I need the money so I can go for my MA, forget the rest of it. So I went over with the faculty. I said, I'm going to take classical Greek. He said to me, what? I said, now listen. I said to him, you going to give me the test now? I'll take it. So we're not in each other's way. I'm not going to come to class. If you want me to come, I'll never ask you a question. I'll level with the guy. He said to me, why do you take it? I said, I don't have time to study. I want to work to make some money to go on. I remember that class. The class started, and there was a homiletical class. And one of the guys got up, and he wants to use Greek. Good. Got up, he says, the Lord Jesus. I said, Lord, forgive me. He says, Paris. After what he said, he came out of the end. He says, what do you think about that? I says, Leland, my wife knows him very good. Leland, that's blasphemy. Paris is something that's a freak with five eyes, three eyes, or a head twisted around, two people together. I said, that's terror. That doesn't show superiority of Christ. And the rest of them say amen. You see, you don't amen ignorance.
Wow. Yes,
am I right?
Yes.
God is simplicity.
Amen. Amen.
God is simplicity. And now God says here, it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. He says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance. We have a rich salvation there. The first step, God puts in you that bothering idea. That's how I'm describing it, the okay way. Something eats you up. I'm restless. I can't stand it. I'm going to die. I can't take it. I'm blah, blah. All the and so on. You go on and you say, now, God, something I need. Something stirs me up. The best thing to do, don't figure it out. You figure it out, you don't know what you're doing. You're getting ready to go to Jesus like that. You know? If you figure it out, you know, you figure out God, you just go back to step one. And he says, that godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation.
Amen.
The people today, I got saved. Have you ever repented? What's the matter with you? I mean, the message. Sit down. The only thing I did, you know, I went to a convention in the message, and they said how many want to accept the message, and they told me about the prophet, and I believe it. They showed me the film. They convinced me, and I'm ready for salvation. But without repentance, you go nowhere. You got to start from the basics. And if a spark of God is in your soul tonight, you are the most privileged person in this world.
Hallelujah.
Because it's godly sorrow that leads to repentance.
Amen.
So you go there and you say, now what's going to happen to me? You know what it is? The godly sorrow is how God sees you. His Spirit comes and you see yourself like wretched.
Amen.
Amen. God, how you can stand me?
That's right.
Kill me. I want to die. The Holy Spirit says, that's what I want you to do, to die to yourself.
Amen.
Right? The divine undertaker now takes you to your own grave. You keep on going, you fall in the hole, you are buried, a new man comes up.
Hallelujah. Yes, amen.
Amen.
What is that, Brother David? A Calvary.
Amen.
That's where the cross, the old nature dies. That's where the blood was shed. Without the remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now I look at the cross and I say, Lord Jesus, help me. I want to go close to you. Please, Jesus, help me. Everybody says, did you put your name on the book? Did you do this? Did you accept the message? He says, what are they talking about? You're dizzy. Am I right? But once you met this Jesus, it's like shedding water off a duck's back. You know, he just, poor fellow, doesn't even know what's going on. You say, I don't understand what you say, but something happened in me. I know that. Have you read that court and this court and this court? No, no, I didn't read this court, but I know Jesus.
Amen.
But listen, if you don't follow me and you don't agree with me in this portion of Scripture, you go to hell. You're telling me that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. He'll quicken my mortal body. Do you know what's quickened? In 1 Corinthians 15, he says the first Adam was earthly. The second Adam, what was that? Spiritual. If you go there to the Greek, you find out instead of spiritual, zoopion. Zoe is eternal life, pio is create, the creator of eternal life. And they couldn't keep him out of the grave. You know why? Because he creates eternal life.
Amen.
They put him down. The devil says, I'm going to nail you and you die. Get out of here. On the other side, Judas was in the message of the hour. He took the money. He didn't realize what he was doing. He invested in real estate. Somebody invested for him and that was his grave.
Amen.
Big investor. You know what I mean? So now watch something. I better close. Probably this will take a week. I'm the two lines that I started. Keeps on going. Brother Cyril says. So now, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. God gave me that sorrow. Worketh repentance. God, what am I supposed to do? Something eating me up. I have been a bad girl. I have been a bad boy. And something is working me up. Listen, you are the most blessed person in this world.
Amen.
What this is going to be, do to me? Lead me to the repentance.
Amen.
Not I do it. He does it. Isn't it beautiful? Huh?
Amen.
We want to put our hands. He got saved because I was there. You know what I mean? Man counts bodies. God counts souls.
Amen.
Nobody save anybody.
Amen.
It's godly sorrow.
Yes.
Lead that person to repentance. So what happened? Now listen to this. Not to be repented. Whew. The word ametameliton. Melon is the future. Ametameliton. No future can change it.
Hallelujah.
Once in your sins are forgiven, you don't have to go in an hour and say, Lord, would you forgive me again? You know why? God doesn't know what you're talking about. Because he said, when he forgives your sins, he remembers them no more. He's God. He can forget, but you cannot forget. I cannot forget. But he's God, and he can forget. Don't you love that?
Amen.
Don't you love that one time you were in the field of the world and then you walk outside of this bar and you look around and you see how He saved me. And you go to Jesus, thank you, Lord, for saving me from the bar. And Jesus says, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Because I remember no more.
Not to be repented. You don't go back and say, Jesus, now I forgot one of the sins. But you say, just as I am, without one plea.
Amen.
Just as I am. Filthy sinner, whatever you are. But I was in the Methodist church all my life. I'll never forget a young lady, about 19 years old, when Brother Billy Andrews was preaching and we were teamed together. Billy said to me, Brother David, I enjoy working with you together because you are after souls who don't care about popularity. I said, okay. So that girl, 19-year-old girl, was finally behind the tent. Brother David! I said, what happened? She said to me, I was 19 years in a message and now I got saved. I said, praise God.
Amen.
Praise God for it.
Amen.
I got saved. She said to me, my sins are forgiven.
Amen.
She didn't know. I told you about that little girl picked me up. She said to me, I said, woman there wants to get saved. I told her everything I knew. I don't know what to do. So I followed the little girl, going down there in the tent. There was a lady sitting. I don't want to say older lady. I get in trouble with some of these women here. But it was a lady sitting there, and a little teeny girl, about 11 years old, had her hand right on the top of her head. And she says, Jesus loves you. Just Jesus loves you. And that woman says, Jesus, forgive my sins. Already was saved, and they were dragging me as a preacher. You don't have to have a preacher to get saved. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repent. God uses the vessels, uses the fivefold ministry. But it's God that saves and nobody else. Now he says here, he says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented, by the sorrow of the world worketh death. You come to the altar and cry about your boyfriend, your girlfriend, and, oh, Jesus, thank you. You dumped me, and go on, you know. That doesn't work, you know. I've learned his tricks. It's a bad influence, that man. But that's true. Friends, it might sound like a joke, but I'm not joking. I'm just wondering, have you been today looking for a new doctrine to fall from the sky? What are you looking for? Have you stopped to take an inventory of your life and face yourself like as you are? What are you looking for now? You know what I'm looking for? I'll tell you, to die daily. A true believer says, Lord, where is my Judas? Without him, there's no cross. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. We run away from the Judases and we go nowhere. Sometimes, if we start looking to ourselves and you say you're in the message, the scripture says, to them that I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Yeah.
Do you accept the rebuke of God and says, Lord Jesus, that's the evidence of your love. It's not hugging somebody, scratching somebody's back. But Lord Jesus, rebuke me. Chasten me. Bring me to repentance. That's the bride, you know that? I just thought about Sunday, might as well mention it. You remember the first night I was talking about Ephesians? And I went through the process of the Holy Ghost. You remember that? I just thought about that. I was studying about this a few months back. I was talking about Ephesians 1:13. And you know, remember it went down, you know, the Holy Spirit of promise. The 14th verse, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That word earnest is the word aravon, which is the engagement of your inheritance. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is that you are engaged with Jesus. And let me tell you, Jesus never breaks his engagements.
Amen.
He put his seal upon you, his word upon you, you're going straight to eternity.
Hallelujah.
Which is the engagement. The people say, you don't need the Holy Ghost, we got the message now, praise God. I want to be engaged to Jesus.
Amen.
Any person that leads me out of the Holy Ghost, I have nothing to do with it. I run. I'm not standing. I'm running. I don't want to be partaker of that scene. Sometimes you think that I can do it, but the Scripture teaches different. The Scripture says, whosoever putteth away his wife except the cause of fornication, causeth her. You can be the cause and pay the price later. Serious business, am I right? Do you think we're going to be a big smile, all of us? Count 50 or 100 and so many million people, all of us are in the bride. Doesn't work like that. Let me invite you to church. I take you and say, I want you to attend a church. He says, where is it? From going up in the hill, on the side of the hill. So a little lady said there. I says, sir, ma'am, where is that church? Oh, you go about a few more blocks down, you're about a mile down. Keep on walking in the bushes. Walk down there, find a little place. We walk in. 5 people. 5 people?
Amen.
Pastor Noah gets up. And he starts preaching to them. How long is this congregation be? A few hundred years. As in the days of Noah. As in the days of Noah. Friend, come to the ark. Don't look for doctrines to satisfy you. It's Christ that satisfies you. It's the life of Jesus Christ. People are reaching for substitutes here and there of my doctrine. They call me Brother David House in the Greek. Clunk. I hung up. Don't want to argue. I don't want to be in the middle. Correct? I don't want to be the instrument of it. This in the Greek and this in the Greek and this in the Hebrew. By the time you get through with these fellows, you're upside down. You have to pray day and night to survive. You got to go home and fast and pray to get back where you were. Why? Because you picked up all these spirits. Do you know spirits can fall from one person to another? You start talking to somebody, you got their spirit before you know it and you're in trouble. Protect yourself. The Scripture says when you try to correct even somebody, guard yourself so you won't be tempted also. Guard yourself. You know what? It's a military word without having a gun and watching. I don't want any enemy to attack me. You know how you do that? The gun? Ephesians 6. The armor of God. My time is up. I haven't started. I don't even know what my outline is. I don't know what I finished, what I haven't finished. See, I don't put too much in my outline. That's all I got right there. But praise the Lord for it. Am I right?
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you something. We're here. I don't know if I see you again. Normally, you know what? I like to get in a series of meetings with about only 40, 50 people. I enjoy it better. I don't mean to cast anybody out, but sometimes you don't even know. Might offend somebody, or that's not their pastor. You said this, you didn't say that. But you know, I'd like to ask you something. Can you point your finger when you repented?
Yeah, hallelujah. Amen.
Can you point your finger when you got the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
That's serious, isn't it?
Amen.
Friend, I'll give you a formula. Watch that formula very close. The Scripture says, if we are unfaithful, He is faithful to deny Himself. He cannot. But if we deny Him, He will deny us also. Don't fake yourself. What you can do, you can say, Lord, I don't understand what I got. I'm confused. And you're the answer. This man says about repentance. I don't even know if I have ever repented. I'm looking for all kinds of stuff. Some kind of a doctrine to come from the States and super duper things. I'm ashamed to be here tonight because of what the States have done to other countries. The North American continent. Instead of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation by the blood and the Holy Ghost, everybody got a trick in his pocket. But I know one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'll do before I turn to Brother Searle. What are we going to do? We're going to close our eyes. And if you don't know where you stand or you're confused or where to go tomorrow, you have no direction. There's no way the evidences, the fruits that you have will tell you. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And if you flip-flop back and forth, it's a big question mark about you, boy. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't lead you to that truth tomorrow and the light tomorrow. Because the promises will lead you into all truth. So before I come off the pulpit, I'd like to pray to you. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Godly sorrow leadeth to repentance to salvation. I'm just wondering if you want to raise your hand. I'd like to pray for you. You don't know where you stand, what you're doing. God bless you. God bless you all over. God bless you. Be honest with yourself. The rapture can be tomorrow, all over. God bless you, brothers. That's beautiful. God bless you. Sit in your seat. God bless you out there, brother. God bless you. God bless you, sister. I'm just wondering, I don't know how to sing, but let's sing also that just as I am. Just as I am without one plea. Oh, shed for me come to thee, O Lamb of God. God, tonight, these hands that went up, I don't know how to handle it, Jesus. There might be people there that are in the message but haven't been saved. I don't know, you know it all. Charlotte Elliott wrote, just as I am, and they raised their hands and they said, just as I am, I want to raise my hand, I need more of you, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say I need you more and more. Lord, I pray so that your Holy Spirit might deal with each one of them. Tomorrow is a baptismal service. We haven't even covered repentance. We might do tomorrow morning and be baptized. A God of heaven, a godly sorrow that you give. It's not a man-made factory. There is the great Jehovah of the cross of Calvary. Lord, myself, I repent before you. I die daily, Jesus. Lord, bless every brother and every sister here. If there's somebody here don't understand, help them, Father God. God of heaven, be with us this night. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Searle, I don't know how to close. Why don't you take over?